Well, good morning. It's great to see everybody. I want to welcome back all of our college students. And, you know, it's good to see you bring a lot of energy. You bring a lot of joy to the church. You also bring a lot of traffic. But that's okay. And I also want to send greetings to those in the video service. And I want those people to know that I'm wearing this blue shirt because of them. Because, now listen, last time I preached, I wore a white shirt with a colored tie. And I was told that I looked like a popsicle jumping around here because all they could see was my face. So today I'm wearing this, so hopefully they can see my entire body and not just a Greek hairy popsicle popping all around here. I want to ask you a question and I want you to write it down or just think about the response. You probably can just think about it, but it might help you later on. Here's the question. I want you to think about a current situation or a circumstance that you're going through right now. A circumstance that's bringing you difficulty. The second thing I want to ask you is that if you could just erase that situation right off the map, just completely get rid of it, would you choose to do so? As you think about that, I want us to turn to Philippians chapter 1, where we're going to look at a difficult situation that Paul was faced with and how he dealt with that situation. Just to give you a very, very brief background so that we have a little bit of the context, Philippians is written by the Apostle Paul while he's in prison. And it's written to Christians who are in Philippi. Now, I've been to Philippi. It still exists. It's in northern Greece. It's all a bunch of rubble right now. Okay, so there's not much there. But back then, it was a thriving Roman colony. A lot of action going on there. Paul went there during his second missionary trip. And typically, he would go to a tabernacle. And he'd disrupt things, and then he'd start a church. Well, he went there, and because it was a Roman colony, there was no tabernacle or synagogue to disrupt. So he went down to a river, he met a woman named Lydia. She became saved, and they started a church, and the church just exploded. And they developed just an unbelievable relationship with Paul. In fact, if you read the entire book of Philippians, not once does he correct their behavior. This church was on fire. They were going well. And they had a wonderful relationship. But they were concerned about Paul's imprisonment. Because Paul was such a pivotal factor in the advancement of the gospel. And so these Christians in Philippi, they sent their pastor to minister to the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. And they wanted to see how he was doing. But they also wanted to ask him some questions about how the gospel would continue to be advanced in spite of his circumstances, his situation. So, as that is the backdrop, let's read Philippians chapter 1, starting from verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let's pray. Father, thank you for those incredible words, Lord. Thank you for this passage. God, I pray that you would help me speak clearly. Give me clarity of thought, Lord, as we work through this passage and wrestle through the situation that's causing us difficulty in our personal lives. In your name we pray. Amen. I've got a confession to make. I am a terrible handyman. I mean, I start on things and someone normally gets hurt when I'm putting something together, and it's normally me. Those of you who have that gift, God bless you. The body needs you. But don't call upon me if you want something fixed around your house. So last week, I'm coming home and I've got my evening planned. I'm thinking, get to spend some time studying, get to spend some time with my girls, just relax, I get home. All these things are breaking down. Among other things, the washing machine is just splashing water all over the place. My reaction is, I wish I could just make this thing go away. I wish I could just make it right off, take it right off the mat. Remember when you were a kid, you had the Etch-a-Sketch where you would draw things and you just shake it up and it just disappeared? I wish I could just take that washing machine, just shake it, and let it just go somewhere else, and a new one would just appear somehow. You know, when I think about that, it's a funny story, and I do tend to handle my problems like that, but I also handle the bigger problems that way as well. I wish they would just go away. I just don't want to deal with it. It's getting in the way of my agenda. It's getting in the way of what I want to do. Rarely in the midst of a challenging situation or circumstance do I ask questions like, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? God, how can I be a blessing to others as a result of this difficult circumstance? No, unfortunately, my first response in dealing with challenging circumstances is, man, if they could just go away. And as I look at some of you this morning, and I just sense that some of you feel the same way. Not only about the little things in life, but the big things in life as well. If they could just go away. Now, some of you may be dealing with some deep, deep issues, difficult circumstances. And you may be watching a son or a daughter or a grandchild involve themselves in destructive behaviors, wanting nothing to do with the Lord. And you're saying, man, if that problem, if it could just go away, if I could just have my life back the way it used to be. You may be dealing with a financial situation. You know, maybe your company's on the brink of bankruptcy. And you're thinking, man, if I could just shake it, make it just go away. A sickness that you're dealing with. Some of you, I know you're waiting for a report that's going to come back this week. And that report's going to tell you some things about the future. And you're just wishing, man, if it could just go away. Well, this morning I want to offer you a message of hope. I really do. I want you to leave here this morning knowing that the difficult situation, the circumstance that you find yourself in, it's not in vain. That it has meaning, it has purpose. And that you can be confident in knowing that God can and will take your situation and turn it around for His good. And I also want you to leave here this morning hopeful. I want you to experience the hope that God will not leave you alone through the situation that you're dealing with. This passage that we're dealing with today is a passage that deals with a difficult situation. The Apostle Paul, like I said earlier, he's in prison. And these Christians in Philippi are worried about him. And their big question, based on verse 12, their big question is this. Paul, you have been the mastermind behind the advancement of the gospel. You have led us. You've inspired us. You've given us passion. You've given us zeal. And now, Paul, you are in prison. How is this movement going to go forward? How are we going to do this without you? I'm sure they were thinking, God, what is your plan in this? How is your kingdom going to be advanced when your main guy is in prison? Well, Paul responds in verse 12, and listen what he says. He says, I want you to know. He says that emphatically. He's saying, listen, make no mistake about it. Let's be clear. My imprisonment, my circumstance, my situation has done great things for the kingdom of God. There has been so much good that has come out of it. And the good is this, the gospel is being spread. Paul is saying because of his imprisonment that the gospel is being advanced in ways that would have never been possible had he not been in prison. And he goes on to give three ways in which the gospel was spread because of his imprisonment. You see, in the minds of the people in Philippi, it was hopeless. But God didn't see it that way, and God doesn't operate that way. Because what looks like an impossible situation from our perspective, God will take that situation and turn it around for His glory. And so Paul shows them three ways in which God took the impossible and turned it around and made it useful for His kingdom and His glory. First of all, he says, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. How? So that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard. Basically, the imperial guard was the CIA of the Roman Empire. These guys were an elite group. And their job was to watch Paul round the clock. Every 4 hours, a new imperial guard would be in the presence of Paul. Now, first of all, Paul would have never had the opportunity to witness or to talk to these guys had it not been for his imprisonment. He would have never had access to these men. But because of his imprisonment, God allowed him to speak to these guys. And so what do you think that they talked about for all that time? Now, I'm sure every once in a while he probably talked about the national NASCAR chariot rankings. He probably did. You know, it's good to mix up some of those conversations. You know, who's ranked 15th? You know, it's good to have some of those conversations, but I'll tell you what. Most of his conversations centered around the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul probably said, you know what, let me tell you something. Sit down. Let me tell you how Jesus has completely turned my life around. I was a wreck. I was going 1,000 miles per hour thinking that I was God's man. But I was destroying my life and I was destroying others in the process. And let me tell you, Jesus got a hold of my heart and He turned things around. And I've got good news for you, Imperial Guard. Jesus can also turn your life around. In the situation that you scribble down or that you're thinking in your mind, who is your Imperial Guard? Who is that person that because of that situation, you would have never had access to share the gospel with. Because of the situation, and I know it's painful and I know it's difficult, but because of that situation, God is putting people in your path. Are you taking advantage of that situation? Are you turning your difficult situation, are you turning it around and letting people know about the love and forgiveness of Jesus? Well, there's another group that benefited from Paul being in prison. In verse 14, he says, "And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Apparently, there were a lot of Christians who probably were intimidated by Paul. I mean, he was a powerful speaker, a lot of passion, a lot of energy, a lot of zeal. So think about it. When you're in the presence of somebody like that, what's your response? For most of us, our response is, well, I'll let him do everything. If he wants to do it, that's fine. Let him do it. That's typically our response. And so I think a lot of these guys were sitting in the back seat. Probably very capable, gifted by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but they just needed the opportunity. And because of Paul's imprisonment, that opportunity came. And they had to step up to the plate. Paul was no longer available to preach the gospel. So they took it upon themselves to be bold and to let people know about Jesus. Do you know, whether you realize it or not, that the difficult situation that you're currently going through, people are watching you. They are watching you. People at work, they're watching you. Your children are watching you. And they want to see your reaction. How are you dealing with that situation? And based on how you respond to the difficult situation that you're going through, it will either bring confidence to those who are watching, or it could lead to despair. And wouldn't it be wonderful if your children could observe you going through whatever it is that you're going through, with grace and with dignity and with complete confidence that the Lord will see you through those times? Think about what that's going to do to their faith. Think about the boldness that you're just building into their little hearts. Think about the story that they'll be able to tell about you to their kids. Let me tell you about my mom and dad. Let me tell you what happened when they went through this particular situation, how they handled it. And because of their testimony, I know God is going to get us through this situation. Wouldn't that be wonderful if our kids could see that in us, or our co-workers, or anybody else that we come in contact with? Well, there's a third element to this. A third way in which the gospel was advanced because of Paul's imprisonment. In verse 15 it says, "Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel." In other words, you've got these preachers who are also proclaiming the gospel, and some of them have good motives, have good hearts, and while Paul's in prison, he's out there, these guys are out there and they're still preaching the word, and their motives are good. He continues to say, "The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment." In addition to these guys who are preaching the word with good motives, you have this other element, Christians now, who are trying to give a lot of attention to themselves. They're seeing Paul's imprisonment as an opportunity to bring a lot of attention to themselves. Now, this passage does not say that they were preaching heresy, and if they were, Paul probably would have rebuked them. So they're preaching the truth, but they're preaching it with wrong motives. And so Paul says in 18, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice." In other words, he's saying, hey, I don't care. If they want to go out there and they want to preach and they got false motives and they want to puff up their own ego, that's between them and the Lord. But the important thing is that Jesus is being proclaimed. And in that, I can rejoice. Paul learned a valuable lesson about himself because of his circumstance. He would have never have learned truly his motive in terms of competition had it not been for this particular incident. You know this, the situation that you find yourself in, God wants to teach you something about yourself if you just allow Him to. It's not an accident that you're going through what you're going through. God has a purpose for it. You can know with confidence that God will use your situation and He will use it for good. He'll give you opportunities to share His gospel with people. He'll give you opportunities to be an influence on people around you, on your children. And He'll give you opportunities to learn lessons about yourself that will help you grow in your walk with Jesus Christ. Romans 8:28. Listen to this. This sums everything I've said is summed up in this one verse. Listen. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good." For good. Your situation, your circumstance, it's not in vain. God is going to use it for good. Well, some of you might be thinking, well, you know, that's great. I'm glad God will use the situation that I'm facing. I'm glad He's going to turn it around. I'm glad He'll use it for good. But I need some hope for today. I'm facing something. I don't even want to go home from church because of what I'm facing. Well, God, through the writing of Paul, is going to give us the hope that we need to get through that situation that we're facing. Let's pick it up in verse 19. And I'm going to read, the first time I read it through the English Standard Version. I want to read it again, and I want to read it in the Living Translation this time. And I want you, as I read it, I want you to think about the hope that Paul's writing about. "I am going to keep on being glad, for I know that as you pray for me, and as the Holy Spirit helps me, this is all going to turn out for my good. For I live in eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that will cause me to be ashamed of myself, but that I will always be ready to speak out boldly for Christ while I am going through all these trials here, just as I have in the past, and that I will always be an honor to Christ, whether I live or whether I must die." Now, before we dive too deeply into that passage, it's important that we have a clear understanding of what Paul means when he uses the word hope. Because we use the word hope all the time. You know, some of you students, you know, you're walking to class and you run into a friend, and that friend has an exam that day, and what do you say? "I hope you do well." Well, you know they're going to get an F, but you still say it, "I hope you do well." Basically, you're saying, listen, I don't know for sure how you're going to do. It's uncertain, but I wish you well. So that's typically the way we use the word hope. We don't know for sure. When Paul uses the word hope, he doesn't mean it that way. He's using the word hope as a word of assurance, as a word, this will take place. He's confident when he uses that word hope. And so Paul goes on and he's going to give us the sources of our hope. He's going to give us three factors. I want you to really key in on this. Three factors of what our hope is based on. It's not this loose thing that's out there. It's based on something. And according to verse 19, the first thing that our hope as Christians, the first thing that it's based on is prayer. Look what he says in 19. For I know that through your prayers. See, the church in Philippi, they didn't forget about Paul. They lost contact with him for 2 years, but they didn't forget about him. They were on their knees praying for him. And Paul knew that their prayers were making a difference in the outcome of his imprisonment. And our prayers today make a difference in the situation and the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Prayer works. Prayer makes a difference. And I can't explain it, but I know that the Bible teaches that we need to pray. And so when you and I are faced with difficult situations, we need to pray. We need to pray for ourselves, and we need to pray for each other. And prayer helps us through those difficult circumstances. Now, there's two things involved if we're going to pray for each other. Number one, we have to be willing to share our needs with each other. A lot of us have deep needs, but we're unwilling to share them with each other. And so we don't give the opportunity for people to pray for us. And the second thing that's needed is on the receiving end. We need some ears to be able to share our concerns and to share our difficult circumstances with. Nobody wants to share their requests if they feel like they're going to be judged. We want to be able to go to a person who will love us and will help us through those situations. So that's the first source of Paul's hope is prayer. The second source, or the second factor, was the Holy Spirit. Did you know that when you became a Christian, God's Spirit came and resided within you and lives with you? He's there to protect you, to encourage you, to minister to you. And in fact, He's there to pray for you and to help you through the situation that you find yourself. You're not going through your circumstance on your own. The Spirit of God is within you. So you have people, hopefully you have people praying for you. You have the Spirit of God within you. But Paul goes on to mention a third source. And that source is God's faithfulness. God's record is perfect. Think about it. Look back upon your life. Has God ever failed you? Has He ever let you down in previous circumstances? He has always been there for you. And so Paul is saying, I can always look back and know that God has been faithful to me. What an encouragement for those of you who are here today who are struggling. The prayers of the saints are behind you. God's Spirit is within you. And God's faithfulness is promised to you. Well, Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on to say that based on his hope, he could expect three things to occur. And you could expect three things to occur as well. The first is deliverance. Paul is saying because of the hope that he has, he is expecting deliverance. Now, before you think that he's talking about deliverance from prison, it's not sure. He may not be speaking about deliverance from prison. He could be speaking about deliverance from earth because of death. But basically, Paul's saying, I will be delivered one way or another. Either God is going to pull me out of this situation, He's going to get me out of this prison, or else I'm going to die. And I'm going to go home to be with Him. But one way or another, I will be delivered. No, one way or another, you will be delivered too. You're going to be delivered. You're going to get out of the situation or the circumstance that you find yourself. The second thing that he expected to occur as a result of his hope is that he would not at all be put to shame. He would not be ashamed, but on the contrary, that he would be courageous. In other words, he's saying as a result of this situation, as a result of this circumstance, I will not bring shame to the name of Jesus Christ. I will stay loyal to Jesus Christ no matter what happens. If the Lord wants to deliver me from prison, I will bring glory to His name. And if He wants to take me home, I will bring glory to His name. But he knew that he would be courageous through the circumstance that he found himself, and he would not bring shame to the name of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes when we find ourselves in difficult situations, we do stupid things. All of us. I'm right there with you on this. We want to escape, and we try to do whatever it takes that we think is going to help us with our pain. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Stay faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay courageous. You'll get through this situation that you find yourself, and you'll be able to look back and say, you know what, I did it, and I didn't bring shame to the name of Jesus Christ. Lastly, Paul says that he could expect that Christ would be honored, that regardless of how things ended, even if he was going to be killed, he would not do anything to jeopardize the name and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew that because of prayer, the Holy Spirit, and the faithfulness of God, that he would be delivered, courageous, and Christ-honoring. You can say the same thing too. You know, with that hope that Paul had, he goes on and he gives us one of the most powerful verses in Scripture. Verse 21. But verse 21 by itself really sort of loses some of its life if you don't have the background that we just talked about. The hope that we just talked about. Because of Paul's hope in Jesus Christ, he was able to say, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let me read that again in a couple different translations so that it really penetrates your heart and mind. The Living Bible puts it, "For to me, living means opportunities for Christ, and dying, well, that's better yet." The Modern English translation of the New Testament reads, "For living to me means simply Christ, and if I die, I should merely gain more of Him." Because of his hope, he had complete confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, and his life was completely centered on Jesus. Paul's saying, this is a win-win situation for me. If the Lord decides to deliver me from prison, then that's great, because I get to continue living a Christ-centered, Christ-honoring life and bring more people to the Lord. But if He chooses to take me home, then that's even better, because I get to know Him better and I get to be in His presence. And it was that relationship with the Lord that helped him and that gave him the courage and the hope to get through that difficult situation that he found himself. So you know I'm going to have to ask you the tough question. How do you end that verse? If we had a blank, what would you fill in that blank? For me to live is fill in the blank. For me to live is money. I mean, it sounds gross, and it sounds so light in compared to the power of what we just read. For me to live is power. For me to live is fortune. For me to live is Christ. When Christ is our life, it gives us the hope and the purpose that we need to get through those difficult situations. A couple weeks ago, my daughter was playing with this pail. And it's a yellow pail with a red top. And the top has three different shapes on it. It's got a square, it's got a triangle, and it's got a circle. And so, you know what you do with it. You put the various pieces in and they plop in there. And she decided to reach in the circle and she grabbed a square and so she pulled it out. Well, she attempted to pull it out, but she couldn't. And so she was struggling with it. And so she tried for about 10 seconds to get this piece out, but she couldn't do it. And she got pretty upset and she started crying. Because she wanted her arm to be released. And I said, honey, just let go of the piece. Well, she's 15 months, so she just really doesn't understand me, but I was trying. Honey, just let go of the piece. Let go of the piece. This morning, you need to let go of the piece. Whatever it is that you're holding on to that's restricting you from making Christ the center of your life, let go of the peace. And then you can have His peace. But you've got to let go of the peace. Now, I really don't know what your situation is this morning. I know a lot of you are dealing with some very heavy issues. And that you got some difficulty that you're going through right now. But I want you to know that God can and will take your situation. And you can be confident in knowing that no matter how desperate things look, He can take your situation and He can turn it around for His good. And I also want you to know that you can have hope. You can have the hope of Jesus Christ. That He hasn't forgotten you. He's not neglecting you. He is with you and He's going to see you through this situation to the end. And He will be glorified. He will be honored. And the kingdom will be advanced as a result of the situation, the circumstance that you're going through. We're going to do something a little bit different to close. I'm going to give you an assignment that we're going to do right here. And don't worry, you don't have to talk to anybody. What I'm going to have you do is I'm going to ask us to pray. And I want you to recall that situation that you probably want to erase. And I want us to pray for the situation. I want you to pray for the people involved. And I want to lead us through a time of prayer to ask God to help us through that situation. Will you join me? First of all, I just want you to recall that difficult situation that you're going through right now. And I want you to think about the person or the people that God has placed in your life as a result of that situation. And I want you to pray for those people. I want you to pray for their salvation if they're not believers. And I want you to pray and ask God to show you how you can minister to those people. Next, I want you to think about the people who are watching you as you go through this situation. Co-worker, a parent, son or daughter. And I want you to pray that God would give you the testimony so that you can inspire those who are watching you and help them see the goodness of Jesus as a result of how you're responding to this situation. And lastly, I want you to pray and ask God what lesson He wants you to learn through this situation. Father, I thank You for this sweet time in Your Word. Father, I want to intercede on behalf of those who are hurting this morning, who are going through difficult situations. God, I pray that through Your Spirit and through the preaching of Your Word, Father, that they would see and have the confidence that their situation is not in vain. That You can and that You will use their circumstances to bring glory to Your name. And God, I pray for those who are hurting, who are going through tremendous trials right now, Father. God, please bring them Your hope. And for those, Father, who need to give up the peace, to give up those things that are preventing them from making You the center of their life, God, please grant them the grace to be able to do that. Lord, we thank You for this church body and thank You that we can get through life and get through all the difficult circumstances together as a family. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.